Blog Talk Radio.
A free copy of the ebook of Entertaining Angels Aware.
And the five things that you can do, one of the five things that you can do to win a free copy is, one, to be the first person to comment and like the page. And I see we've already had our first person to like. We don't see a comment, but we're hoping to receive one. And I just turned from the page with her name. I'll call her name in just a moment. But if you already liked our page, please go back and make a comment on the page. If you're listening to us, whether online or via our phone line, please go to Entertaining Angels Aware, like the page, and leave a comment. And we will make sure that you receive a free copy of the ebook, Entertaining Angels Aware, I Am My Sister's Keeper. The second thing that you can do to win a free copy of the ebook is to share the page and have someone else to like the page and make sure that they comment that you invited them to the page. So you can win an ebook for that, and we might have a little something for the person who actually says that you sent them. The third way you can do so, let me check and see who's in our chat room. The first person who shows up, enters our chat room tonight, will also receive a free copy of our ebook. And you notice everything is about first tonight, because today is the first day of October, and it's the first day of National Down Syndrome Month. And the fourth way is to call in. And when I go through our callers, when I see if there's anyone on the line, if you will have something to say, and especially if you have a story to share with us about an angel with Down syndrome in your life, you will also win a free copy. And the first person to share a photo and their story about their angel on our Facebook page, Entertaining Angels Aware, will receive a free ebook copy. So I am just really excited about the connections that I have made for people who also have this UP experience. And our title of our program tonight is The Upside of Down Syndrome. And I'm wondering if people even really know where the name Down syndrome came from. And I have often seen people write it down as Downs, D-O-W-N, apostrophe S. And for the longest period of time, I actually made that same reference myself. But as we grow, and not only as we grow, but as we learn and we read, we learn some different things. So it's not Down, it is actually Down syndrome. And it was given that name because the person who first made acknowledgement or found out and did the research to determine what the syndrome was, his last name was Down. His name is John Langdon Hayden Down. He was a British physician who first described the genetic condition which brings about the changes which are subscribed to being that of Down syndrome. I remember when my sister was born, the pediatrician often made reference to mongoloid, and it made no sense to me. And I remember, if that was before computer days, I remember looking up in encyclopedias and in dictionaries and books to see where that came from. And it actually was just a description that was given to children born with Down syndrome because their facial features tend to be similar to those of those born in Mongolia. And so that was, for lack of a better way for them to describe it, they called it that. One of the things that people are often not aware of as to what causes that, it's the genetic condition. And one of the things I speak about in my book is that for parents who have given birth, at least back in those 40, 50 years ago, did not always know what the condition, what the basis and the etiology of the condition was. And I remember my mother having just questions as to what perhaps she had done to cause my sister to have this condition. And what we do know, that it's really nothing that they do. It's all about the genetic makeup and the chromosomes. And so the condition is also referred to now as the 21, chromosome 21. Basically, there's an extra chromosome, and that changes the whole makeup of the genetic makeup of the person who has been born with that feature. And I love just the way that we are able to embrace uniqueness now. I love, there's a T-shirt that I really want to get for my sister, and it says, "I'm really rocking this extra chromosome." I think it is just totally awesome. I first saw that last year. One of the participants in my sister's day program was wearing that shirt, and I just laughed. We had gone to the fair or something. I said, yes, we have to have that. And that is one of the upsides, because if anyone knows the angel, Kim, my sister, you know that she rocks. And she rocks, and she rocks. So this is just amazing to me, to be able to be at this place in life and look at all the other many angels that there are around, and how now it's no longer something to be ashamed of, not a place where people put them somewhere in an institution or leave them at home. Everyone who knows, most places my sister goes with me. And so sometimes I said, well, you know, I need a break. I remember going to a dinner club one evening in San Francisco that I would take her with me sometimes. And one of the other patrons of the restaurant came up to me and was just standing there, and he said, okay, so where is she? And I'm looking like, where is who? And he pointed to the seat where she would normally be sitting next to me and said, your sister, where is she? And I just laughed. I said, she's at home. And he said, oh, well, why you didn't bring her? I said, can't I go somewhere by myself? I need a break every now and then. And I said, but don't tell her. He said, yep, I'm going to tell her. So that's always sort of the ongoing joke. People say, does Kim know that you're here? But she pretty much goes everywhere with me, even when she was a baby and I was only 12 years old. I love taking her places with me. And people often ask, you know, well, what do you tell people about her? Aren't you a little uncomfortable? And I think because, for one, I wanted a sister for so long, and the fact that when she came, I didn't even realize something was different until maybe she was several months old, and my mother was the one who inquired, and the pediatrician then began to have some tests done to determine, you know, what the situation was. And I think he already had some idea, but was just waiting. And I also remember him suggesting that perhaps she be placed in an institution. And I remember just being adamant, no, like, how is someone going to come and take this baby sister from me that I just got? No, 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 no. And it's ironic how much power, or I won't even say power, but how much input my mother allowed for me to give in terms of her care, what would happen with her. And here we are 45 years later, and I am her keeper. And she loves being with me. I love being with her most times. But we said we were going to talk about the upside down. One of the things that most people see and make comment about with the young people, and I'm saying young people, but they're living longer these days as well. So when I say young, I guess everything is relevant. She's 45 years old now. But she still has some childlike qualities about her. And it's just so endearing, and just the affection. And what's really interesting to me, some people may or may not be familiar, there was a television program on, I guess, maybe 15, 20 years ago. And if someone is listening, you may be able to help me out, because I did not stop to look up the name of it. But it was a regular television program, family program. I believe it came on Sunday night. And the young man who was primarily the star of the program was a young man who had Down syndrome. And he was really the star. He was very high functioning. And I think the other sort of characteristic that we attach to those with Down syndrome is having a low IQ and basically falling in the range of some degree of mental retardation. And what we realize is that there are some who are very high functioning and there are others who are not as high functioning. But the bottom line is they're still little human souls with emotions and with feelings and their own personality. I tell you, some of the things that happen just through the course of a day just crack me up. And I have a chapter in my book entitled Angels Are Funny Too, and I share some of the incidents and things that come up on a day-to-day basis that make me laugh. And when we talk about angels, we talk about just a presence, a soul being present to be there and to provide guidance or just to be and help us to take care of ourselves. And people tell me, oh, you're going to be blessed one day. You're going to be blessed. And what they don't realize is that I really already am blessed. She is such a blessing in my life. And even though, you know, the song says, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And I said, you know, she's heavy, but she's my sister. She's heavy, a little bit on the little chunky side. And sometimes just the time needing to take care of her physical needs and everything can be overwhelming at times. But I wouldn't take anything for it because she's my sister. But the other thing is people don't realize that on an emotional level, there's so much to be received that it's like any other relationship. Every person that we're in a relationship with, we have some areas that are not as great as others. But whatever it is that overshadows and highlights their existence in our lives becomes the core of the relationship. And my being known as the heart lady, I think it's just not even a coincidence that I have an angel in my life who is just so loving. I mean, love overshadows everything. Even when she's in a little grumpy mood, sometimes we come back and I say, okay, I guess she has her halo back on. She's loving again. And I thought about it, and some of the insights I gained in writing the book were just like, huh, I never thought of it that way before. One of the things I looked at is that she meets a need for me that isn't met anywhere else. Having grown up as an only child and then growing up as an adult with not having siblings as peers, having been single all of my life, not having a mate, you know, there are areas in life where that nurturing, that loving sometimes is not felt. And when dealing with other people, sometimes people feel like, oh, you're just, you know, too mushy-mushy. Too kissy-kissy, too huggy-huggy. And one of the things that I get an abundance of with my angel is lots of love, hugs, and kisses. Sometimes I may not even want them because I'm trying to get her to do something. She wants to stop and give me a kiss. And I'm always mindful of, you know, there might be a day when I might not have this opportunity. So I take all the hugs and kisses that I can get, and I just soak it in. And there are times when there's a desire to be somewhere or to do something and feeling more loving, and I'm thinking, what greater love is this? You know, I think of the scripture says, what greater love has this than a man lay down his life? What greater love is this than a God would give me an angel? So I have heard many stories. In our book, there are also stories from other siblings who are either caregivers for or who have just very special relationships with their siblings. Not all of them are those with Down syndrome, but a few of them are. And one of the things that most people say that there is something different. There's something different in making that bond and that attachment. And I just believe it's something spiritual. One of the things that always just brings me back when I look at her, and the picture that's on the front of the book, I think was probably taken when she was about 6 or 7 months of age. But I look at her eyes, and I just remember that being the first thing that I saw when I first laid eyes on her. She was born as a premature baby. So I did not even get to see her until maybe she was maybe about a month old, but she was still less than 5 pounds, was in an incubator, and I wanted to see her. Fortunately, my mother worked at the hospital where they had then transferred her to, and I was able to get into the room. Let me just share a little bit of this story, of this chapter one with you. It's entitled Sweet Little Angel Eyes. I'd waited 11 years for her, and it had been several long weeks since the early morning phone call which announced her arrival. Yet I had not had the chance to see her yet. My heart beat rapidly with excitement as I prepared for our first meeting, partly because I was finally going to see her, and partly because I was being sneaked into the place where she was located by a few people working together in our behalf. When I got there, she knew I was there to welcome her. It would be the first day I'd lay eyes on my angel, who, though born 3 months premature, had arrived many years past the time the initial desire had been planted in my heart. I had begged for a baby sister or brother for most of my 11 years on this earth. I was consistently told it's not going to happen. As I watched the barely 3-pound body laying inside the incubator, she opened her eyes, and it was love at first sight. It was as if my soul just opened up, like we'd been together before and had at long last reconnected. Because she was born premature and it would take some time for her lungs to fully develop and her weight to reach the 5 pounds required for her to be released to go home, she had been transferred from the hospital where she was born to the hospital where my mother worked. My mother and her coworkers had arranged to bring me through the employee's entrance to get to the unit where my angel was being nourished to health. And their astonishment and disbelief, Mama and the nurses told me that baby didn't open her eyes, but I knew she had, and nobody could tell me any different. There was even doubt as to whether or not she would live, because our mother had had several miscarriages, stillbirths, and other premature babies to pass prior to my birth. But my heart knew something different about this one. She, like me, was a survivor with a purpose, and I had already given her a name, Kimberly Yvette. I guess I've always had a gift of faith, and despite the sometimes feeling of contrariness, God's favor, people now know better than to tell me what can and will not happen. This was one of the first miracles of faith which impacted my belief in God. He really did answer prayers. And that's one of the other things that I realized when I was writing the book, that this really was the basis of my faith walk, and being told that something wasn't going to happen for 11 years of my life, and it happened. And I just look at all of the other events in my life in which I had the faith of a mustard seed and had the audacity to believe, had the audacity to follow my heart and my dreams and believing that it could happen. I found it in my angel. So I was hoping that other people would join in with us to share their angel stories. We did an interview a few months ago, and I had Dan Smith, who is one of my speaking network colleagues, as well as a member of my board of directors and a very good friend, to interview one of the other authors and myself. And he asked some questions that I pretty much talk about all the time. And my feeling is that when people have observed my sister and I together, they pretty much figure out, you know, it's just like a given. But I really want to be able to address questions from those who really don't have much of an understanding as to how to integrate someone being different in your life. And how do we celebrate National Down Syndrome Month? And I think, for one, I think the major thing is just sharing, sharing, sharing. And because it's so much a part of my life, I'm not sure what sharing is beneficial and what's not. But I think the major thing is love. And love is always in order. And all I could say is, I love my sister. She loves me. The years have gone by. In some ways, it seems like it's been so quick, and other times it seems like, gosh, that was a long time ago. And I have asked people, I asked those who knew me growing up, what were some of their first observations of me with my sister. And I'm very pleased to hear that regardless of where I knew the person from who responded, whether it was from school, whether it was from church, whether it was from some extracurricular activity or the community, they all had the same thing to say, and that was basically that I did not have any shame about her, that I was very loving towards her, and that I was very patient. And even though we all desire to have certain characteristics, as though sometimes we don't feel like that's what we're doing, and we tend to go and feel a little not so up to par, but it just really blessed me to be able to hear that this is what people have observed throughout our lives, and it makes me very glad because what I think that when we are made to be caregivers and stewards over everything that we've been given from God, whether it's something material or whether it's another life, whether it's a child, whether we gave birth to the child or whether we adopted the child, God has given us a responsibility to really be an extension of Him. And that is the desire of my heart. It's truly the desire. I talk about the village a lot and talk about the heart work, H-E-A-R-T, and being the village that raises a child. And we have to be the village that not only raises the child, that sustains the child, and builds up the child within the adult body. There's a lot that happens in childhood that impacts us as adults. But I also had an opportunity to nurture another angel. As a foster parent, I had the opportunity to foster two girls who I believe were 2 to 4 years apart at the time. So that made 1 8. And the other 12, and they lived with me for probably maybe 4 to 6 months. And I just felt so special because I had been asked to take the two young ladies in, and the younger one was the one with Down syndrome, and I just felt that I was the best person because I didn't feel like anyone else would understand. But I also watch the dynamics between the two siblings, and it makes me just tears come to my eyes out of both happiness and sadness, thinking about what it would have been like if, say, something had happened and we had to be separated from our parents and, even worse, one another. And I just felt that it was just another special privilege that I had been given. I had an opportunity to meet someone just during the course of handling everyday business. I was having my car service, and there was another customer there who observed my sister and I together. And she told me that she worked in an independent living facility for young adults who had Down syndrome, and that they basically had transitioned out of the foster care system to this independent living program. And she seemed to have loved her job, and she talked about those who had no family. She spoke of those who had families that they visited with. And it just hit me really hard at that time. It had never really occurred to me what happened to a foster child or the sibling of a foster child who has a developmental disability. And they transitioned out of the foster care system. It was like something just hit me upside the head. And although I had a foster child, who had Down syndrome or who has Down syndrome, she was adopted. She and her sister were adopted into a permanent family by a family within the same county, and it was a given that she was going to be with them forever, and whoever was going to be there to help the family, if you know the parents passed on, she was always going to be with family. And it had not occurred to me. So over the past several months, I have been tapping into the foster care community, trying to find out what, if any, of those who have been in care may have had siblings, or maybe have even had foster siblings who were born with Down syndrome, and maybe to share a little bit of their story with us. Again, I believe that this is truly a village issue, and we have a responsibility of taking care of all of our children, and even when they're not little children anymore, and especially, which I make reference to, our angels. So if there's anyone listening and you may know of, may have fostered, may have lived with, maybe even have adopted, or you are the sibling of a child with Down syndrome who grew up in the foster care system, I would really appreciate your giving me a call or dropping me an email. And you can drop the email at ms.e@forachildheart.org. That's forachildheart.org. Or you can go to our page on Facebook, our brand new page, which is still waiting for a new like and comment to win a free copy of our ebook, Entertaining Angels Aware. So if you will drop me a note there, I would really, really appreciate it, because I believe that there is something more that can always be done. And I don't believe that situations come up for us to have conversation over for naught. I believe that everything is for a reason and for a purpose, and that that has been placed on my heart. And I know they're out there. I know they're out there. So let's get busy and take care of the angels in our lives. And as far as mentors and CASA workers and all of that, they need us too. They need big brothers. They need big sisters. One of my favorite things in dealing with my sister now is going to the talent show. They have an annual talent show, and I believe actually it's in October. And the day program which she attends is called PACE. It's in our county, but there are several PACE programs throughout the county, different cities, several different programs, maybe even within one city. And each program has 2 to 3 acts where they get up and they perform, whether it's a reading or singing or dancing, whatever it is that they do. And I just love it. There's this one young man I have seen every year. My sister's been with me for 13 years now. And I just look forward to seeing him dance and sing. He has this wide-eyed wonder. And everybody, I thought I was the only one, but I was kind of disappointed to find out everybody's his girlfriend. But I see it. His name is Richard. And I see Richard every year. And one day I ran into him in Walmart. And I saw him. He saw me. And we got excited. He's like 6'2" or something like that. And I said, Richard, he said, my son. And he went running to tell the counselor of their program that he wanted him to see his friend. And the person was like trying to tell him, you know, calm down. That's okay. And I told him, that's okay. I said, I really am his friend. And it just does wonders. And I imagine we talk about, you know, poor them. I think it's only poor them, just like it would be poor anyone else if they're being mistreated. I look, and if they're well taken care of, well nurtured, and allowed to share the love and give that embrace, I'm just thinking, I could think that would be a wonderful life, just to be able to do nothing if your only purpose is to love. And in my sister's case, eat. So I can do that, to love, eat, sleep, ask questions, and boss people around. It's awesome. And I think when we let love overshadow everything and try to gain an understanding, and as I state in the book also, that there are some days that the halo falls off. It's not all angelic. There are some rough days. But the bottom line is knowing and understanding, too. I believe understanding the personality, knowing that we can't just lump anyone in one big category. It's like everyone. There are some things that we have in common, and there are some things that are generally that show up in a life if you have a particular diagnosis. But we can't put everybody in one box, and we have to look at them as individuals and be willing to find a way to communicate where it's truly understood, because there is a sense of frustration. My sister's speech has never been, you know, very clear, and over the past year, some of her, the clarity of her speech has decreased, and it's very frustrating to her when I don't understand her, and sometimes it's frustrating to me as well. But there's a lesson in everything. One of the things I've had to do was to stop and listen closely to hear what she said and have patience enough to say, say it again, say it again. And just that helped me to also think that she may not be the only one that's having some difficulty in feeling understood and feeling heard. And it reminds me to do the same thing with other people. As a licensed marriage family therapist, sometimes as I'm sharing with couples, I'm sharing with parents and children, I might share an interaction with my sister. And I really stop to think that perhaps they might think I'm undermining, but I point out to them that it's all matters of the heart. It's not about what level you're functioning on and what your IQ is. It's what your emotional state is. And if we all just treated one another as people with hearts, as people with feelings, we could get a lot further. And the one thing that my sister has really taught me is how to slow down. And it has come in handy, because with her, there is no rushing. You do not get in a hurry with her. You just have to learn how to count to 10, 20, 30, 40, 2,000 if necessary until she gets there. And when she gets there, she's there. So I believe that every person, every relationship, and every angel comes in our life to teach us things. So I see that we do have a few callers on the line. I'm going to open up the lines and see if any of you have angels in your life and would like to share. Oh, we lost a caller. If anyone would like to share, and I'm going to also check in the chat room to see if anyone is interested in sharing, if you've read the book, to give us some feedback on that. So we're opening up the line, and if you're on the line and would like to have comments about anything I've shared, if you've read our book, if you have an angel in your life, please share it with us now. Good evening.
Hello, this is Jenny Rose Fenimore. I think I'm meeting you for the first time voice to voice.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
How are you?
It's your long-lost sister in the Midwest. And of course, I read the book, and just really lovely. And you have enjoyed knowing you're out there doing what you do.
Thank you. Oh, awesome. You know what? This morning, I thought about inviting you. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program. I said, well, I didn't really invite anyone to interview tonight because I just got a program last week, and it sort of threw me off because usually it's first and third, but last week was a special airing. So I said, well, it's a little short notice to ask. If I'll just at least send her the notice. So I'm so glad that you're on.
Yeah, and I the only thing that would botch that up is my angel boy is somewhere between out of town school and here, so he may call me on the cell phone. But I'm here now.
Wonderful. Please tell our listeners about your angel.
Okay, let's see. Well, let's see. Charlie was is our son. He's 20 years old, and we adopted him when he was just a month old. And we've been celebrating ever since. He has taught me so much about life, and I know Evelyn. Oh, gosh, he's here right now. I'll just tell him I'm going to pick him up, and then I'm going to have to call you back on the other line, okay? I'm so sorry about that. But, you know, motherhood call. I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Jenny Rose is someone I've met over Facebook. We immediately became friends because when I was looking for stories for my book, I posted it, of course, on Facebook. But while I was going through, I came across a page titled, I just lost the page. He's an angel, okay? I'll just leave it like that. So I'll tell you now. But his name is Charlie. And I was in tears as I read some of the posts that were on your wall. Lessons from an Earth Angel. That's their Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, go to Lessons from an Earth Angel. And I just fell in love. So I wrote a note to Earth Angel's page and Earth Angel's mom, Jenny Rose, who was just on the line, who will be calling us back shortly, shared some things with me. And it was just awesome. And we found out that we also have lots of things in common as well, including having gone to the same college and having been there about the same time, being adopted parents, and having angels in our lives. And so this is our first time speaking face-to-face. We corresponded via email, and she also sent my angel a beautiful packet of love. Just had lots of, just chock full of love things for our birthday basket. So I haven't had an opportunity to speak to her and send email, so this is cool. But Charlie is just a young man after my own heart. And his whole thing is about joy. Joy. If you look at the page, there's so many quotes. And these are things that he just comes up with himself. And one of them, he says, I am glad to be a peace man in happiness. We are helping God shine life and love and joy to our world. Isn't that amazing? He says, the joy of sadness helps everybody heal. And so what she has done, she has written, Jenny Rose has done, is written a book in behalf of her earth angel, full of his quotes. And they're just heart-touching. And when you listen, you know that, as you know, the scripture says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, that it definitely came from a higher source. So we look forward to talking to Charlie's mom once you get situated, and she will share more. I am so excited that she's on the phone. We have other callers. Would anyone else like to share with us this evening? I know you're there. Maybe you can just maybe tell us how you found out about the call and if you are, why you chose to listen in. And would you like a free copy of our ebook? How about that? Or did I lose the page? I think I've lost. I left the studio. I got so excited looking for Earth Angel. I need to go back and find the page again. But you should still. I didn't cut the line off, so I just can't see who's there right now. Anyway, adoption. I know that there are actually some potential adoptive parents who only, well, I won't say only, but are actually looking to adopt children with Down syndrome. I think because some of them realize how loving they are. And I think for people who just love children and they realize that there's that childlike nature that remains. I think some people just like that, as we said, that perpetual child. It's like you never have to worry. Well, I will say that. That's a generalization. I was going to say you never have to worry about them going off and leaving home and living their own lives, because they'll always be your babies. But we have something different. And I think one of the stories that Jenny Rose will share is a new development in Charlie's life. And I heard a click. Are you back with us? Okay, that's not her. I heard a click. I don't know if someone hung up or someone else came on the line. But anyway, I know of a family who has adopted three young people with Down syndrome. And I know someone who specifically stated that they were going to adopt. And they really wanted to adopt a child with Down syndrome. And what I found out is a lot of people who work in special ed, after having such an awesome experience with this population, many times they decide, you know, I could live with this. I could live with this. So there are various reasons that we can do so. So if you hold just a minute, I'm going to find my way back to the studio and see what I've done with our callers. If I cut you off, or what did I do here? You can tell I'm excited. I probably need supervision. And if it was left up to the angel, she would just say, "Oh, Evelyn." Actually, I could have had her on the call. That would have been pretty cool. Okay. So the other lines that we did have a new caller coming in. We've opened up the line. Would you like to share with us, or is this Jenny Rose calling back?
Well, I've been trying to call back.
Okay.
Do you have me this time?
I have you this time.
Oh, good. Okay, I've been on the line all along, but for some reason. Anyway, here we are now.
Yeah, what happened? I accidentally left the studio. The computer,
okay.
The studio case. So as I was talking and going on, I realized I clicked it off. It's like, oops. So it actually, yeah.
Oh, no problem.
So,
no problem.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So
yeah, you could ask me
a
question.
Well, yeah, I was asking you a question about your adopting the Earth Angel, but I was just sharing with listeners that, you know, the things that we found out that we had in common and how we met, and that we were both at UC Davis at the same time. We both are adoptive parents. And I was sharing about the adoptive parents of adopted children with Down syndrome, and I was just saying that some are people who have had experiences, whether they work in the field of special education and have contact and really enjoyed that interaction and just really appreciated the child-like nature of those with Down syndrome. And I just commented on a couple of families that I've met, so I'm not sure what your experience was or has been. And then I commented that many probably felt like they would have the perpetual child and not worry about them leaving and going away to get a job and go to college. And I said, oops, maybe I should not say that. So,
oh, sure, I guess
go ahead.
Yeah, I will. I go ahead. We're funny. We keep talking over each other. Let's see. Charlie, he's 20 now, and I think it was not last summer but the one before, we were driving in my home state of California. You know, I know you're there too. And we drove by this little college, far northern California, called College of the Siskiyous. And he started saying, "I want to go here. I want to go here, Mom." And I, you know, at the time I couldn't figure out how that would be, because they really don't have anything he can take there. But finally, what we realized we could do, because he's ready to do something different. He's, you know, he's 20. He just graduated from high school. He's been hearing classmates talk about college, you know, for the last year or so. And so what we've arranged for him to do is he's going to be like a volunteer assistant to the athletic director at the college.
I love
it. He gets to take his mom.
Oh, oh, precious.
Yeah, so we're gonna move back to California in shifts. Charlie and I are gonna go first, and he's really looking forward to it. I really think he's just, he asked me at the coffee shop. You know, that's real important to him, and I think they do, and I think he just wants to be in the environment. I think that'll be good for him.
Awesome. Now, did he do any type of occupational training and work while he was still in high school?
No, he really didn't. We were in kind of a unique situation. We've been in a place called Yellow Springs, Ohio. It's a village of about 3,000 people. And he really was the only kid with Down syndrome, anywhere nearby at all. So he didn't have peers really in the school program. I'm not sure he noticed that was not a great thing for him, but I think we're learning how to work with him as they went along. A lot of the teachers, this was their first experience working with him. So I suppose I could have, done some research and found some different things, but by the time that occurred to me, he was so into being a high school guy, and he wanted to be at school all day, because that's what all the other kids did. And so I think that was more important to him than anything else would have been. So we just went with that.
Wow.
I think the social thing for high school was, I think, really what he enjoyed most. And he just didn't want us to mess with that, so we didn't.
Well, how old was he when you moved there? Did he always attend school there?
We moved here when both of our boys were starting eighth grade. So before that, they were in Southwest Texas, started school there. So, so we went from a place that kind of seemed smaller to a place that was about 90% smaller. It's
wow.
all worked out, so we had a lot of neat opportunities, to do to do different things, and I think it's really he's grown in confidence. I think you were mentioning, I was able to hear everything you were saying. I just couldn't, you couldn't hear me. But so I heard all that you said, and you talked a little bit about the prayers that he hears. He's been hearing these what he calls prayers since he was 13 for about 7 years. And he has, he's got so much confidence. I mean, he's never considered that he's missing anything, which is kind of exciting. I think a lot of high school kids.
Well,
So he regularly gets up and he'll make a prayer specifically for a wedding or a memorial service. We're starting to go on little speaking tours with our books because he has a book out too. His is called Happy and Soul. So he'll get up and he'll share one of his prayers. And, he enjoys doing that. So I think he's got a nice life. It's, it's kind of a simple life. I mean, I think there are some commonalities. I think they tend to really like routine. That makes it feel like life is predictable. And just it's been an interesting ride. I knew about him when I was 14, and I just had this knowing inside that one day I was going to have a baby with Down syndrome, and I thought it was really neat. But then I told a few people, and they didn't think it was really neat, so I stopped telling people because it wasn't safe.
Oh.
Nobody would celebrate. I put it away, huh?
What was your first experience with anyone with Down syndrome?
Oh, I'm not hearing you clearly. Say it once more, please.
What was your first experience with someone having Down syndrome?
Oh, yeah. Boy, I think I wrote a whole chapter on that in my book. Special Olympics. I was a kid that, as I say in my own book, I really marched to a different drummer. And that was pretty apparent when I was growing up, I didn't have a big crowd. And so really, Special Olympics was really my first experience. I volunteered when I was about 14, And I really felt like I was home, just because of, like, of what you shared some of the beautiful experiences that you had with your sister Kim, you know, just mm-hmm. being around people who were so absolutely unconditionally loving and accepting and non-judgmental and just, you know, happy to be alive. And that's how I've always been. So, you know, for me, that was like an incredible blessing to find that there were actually, you know, there were people like that out there, you know, that I could hang around. So, yeah, that's how I first, you know, introduced to the whole concept of that extra problem that I think is purposefully on purpose.
Right. Now, when you decided to adopt and you and your husband prepared to adopt, did you go in saying that you wanted to adopt a child with Down syndrome?
Yeah, our story is kind of mystical. I had been having some experiences. I was a chronically ill person. I had a lot of health challenges back then. So I was taking a lot of naps. And we had lost some pregnancies. And I had never given up hope, you know, that I could actually have a live birth, but it wasn't happening. And so I took a nap. It was one of my daily naps, and I woke back up, and this was a time that we were considering adoption, but I, you know, just for me personally, first we were looking at a private adoption type of thing, just investigating it, and I didn't feel comfortable with all the questions. It was kind of like, you know, it felt like I was ordering a car just because I had to check all these different boxes and acceptable options and different things. And for me, you know, that didn't feel so great. So I thought, oh, I'm just going to turn this over to God because that feels better, you know, just to have God push me out of the baby. But, so I woke up from my nap, and it was right there, you know, to adopt a baby with Down syndrome. And it was so clear. It was truth. And so I walked in, this is the part that's kind of magical. I walked into my husband, and we hadn't talked about this previously, and I said, what do you think about adopting a baby with Down syndrome? And hold on a second. And he just thought about it for like a second and a half, and he said, why not? Let's do it. And that's pretty much how we got him.
I love it.
We've been celebrating ever since.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
It's just celebrate.
Beautiful celebration. Yeah, it continues. And, you know, fun things. I mean, you have your fun stories from your whole life with your sister. You know, I used to go pick Charlie up after school the entire time, you know, that I was picking him up for years and years and years. I'd show up, and he would look so delighted, you know, as if he never really once expected that I'd come get him. I mean, it was that much of a surprise for him.
Fun! It's not such a fun little hi, Mom.
Charlie, say hi to Evelyn.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Charlie. It's so good to hear your voice. I love your prayers.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a picture of you right now. I can't wait to meet you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured we're going to be doing something better in person, actually, not just, you know, voice to voice. But, you know, I'll leave you with this. One of my favorite, you know, little snippets of a prayer or just a phrase that he has come up with is, the Spirit of love makes any one of the clouds shine with joy.
Mm.
And I love that.
I love it, too. Well, I can't wait to get a copy of your book, and I'm going to have you back on after I've read both of you have a book and he has a book, right?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
We have these wonderful cards. Actually, I just have the case on my computer desk, and I had to move it because some things fell off, and I have a new puppy. And he got the
puppy.
Yeah, but just even the cards that you see. Pardon me?
I said we love puppies. Sorry, I have a little attention deficit myself.
Oh.
Especially when you're talking about puppies.
I could just see. I'm going to have you back on to share. I'm going to get the book. I'm behind. I've got like 3 books I'm supposed to be reading for interviews, plus the books I want to read on the side, and I haven't really slowed down since the end of July. But I'm so glad to hear from you, and we will be
Thank
in touch. All right.
Thanks.
And as we close out, will you close out? All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Speaking of divine intervention, if you just heard, I got to speak with someone that I actually had thought about inviting but didn't want to do so at the last minute. And here we are, Ms. Jenny Rose. And like I said, go to their Facebook page, and it's called The Earth Angel. And I've made posts of lessons from an Earth Angel, and I've actually posted their site on our page again, which is Entertaining Angels Aware. And I'm going to take a look and see if anyone has commented yet to get a free copy of the ebook. And I see none. So what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to close out the background noise. There we are. And I am going to announce the name of the person who has liked the page, even though she has not commented yet. And then I'm going to give whoever might be listening to the recording of this the opportunity to go to our page and comment and to say, I found you through Heart Talk with Miss E. And we will like that very, very much. And I feel like I'm talking to my children now. Trying to maneuver, navigate. She talked about ADD. That's me, multitasking. So Entertaining Angels Aware, our first person to like the page was and is, I don't see it anymore. Sheila Mejia. Sheila Mejia. So you are the first winner of our ebook, copyright ebook. So if you contact me at heart@foracheldcourt.org or Ms. E, M-S period E, @foracheldcourt.org, I will send you the link to a free copy of Entertaining Angels Aware. So there we are. A whole other hour has passed with me talking all the way for the most part and so happy that an angel showed up. So if you would like to do something special for a child card, contact us, email us, buy the book. And I would like to say proceeds from the book also go towards For a Child Card Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization for my tongue just stopped. A nonprofit organization for current, transitioning, and former foster youth. And the proceeds go to help. And one of the things that I'm looking at doing with the proceeds of this is connecting with an organization that provides summer camp for siblings who've been separated in foster care. And we would like to be able to sponsor children who've been separated from their siblings who might have developmental disabilities. So look at our page, www.forchildcourt.org, and you can look up my page at talktomisse.com. So thank you for joining us. Please join us again and leave us your feedback about listening to Heart Talk with Miss E. In the meantime, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Heavenly mother crying, these children are dying at the hands of the other child. River flow from the tears she cried. She cried.